So this brings us to verse 3 in this section. Absorbed in superconscious states, recollected, and ever exerting themselves, those wise ones realize nirvana, the unsurpassed security. Absorbed in superconscious states, recollected, and ever exerting themselves, those wise ones realize nirvana, the unsurpassed security. So through mindfulness, we collect ourselves, we recollect ourselves, we gather together all the contents of our being, we gather it into a harmonious, concentrated whole. And when that happens, this leads, through the practice of meditation especially, to these superconscious states, as Sagarachta has translated the term. The Pali word is jhana. So these are superconscious because he's trying to get at these states of consciousness beyond what we normally experienced. They could be translated as well as absorption. And there are four that are particularly mentioned and particularly important. I just want to mention these. So through our meditation practice, through our practice of mindfulness, if we are assiduous and energetic, they can open up these deeper, higher states of consciousness. And the Buddha himself described them in a number of ways, but one of the ways was to use similes, quite sort of homely similes in a way. And the first he likened to the first jhana, he likened to the mixing of soap powder and water into a ball, into a perfectly round ball, so that you could use it as soap. It seems that they had something like this in ancient India. Sangharakshita has described this first dhyana as a state of integration. It's a state where all your energy kind of comes together, all the sort of disparate aspects of your being come together. It's a very positive state, a thoroughly skillful state, a very pure state. You're very poised. Everything is flowing together and it's pleasurable. You know, there's real pleasure in it. And there's just a very, very faint kind of, as it were, commentary on your experiences, very kind of faint kind of thought activity. But there is just this experience of everything coming together, it's like a poise, a balance, lightness. So that's the first jhana. The second jhana the Buddha likens to a tank of water. You get these tanks in India, these old stone tanks, like a big lake really. A tank of water which is constantly being refreshed by a subterranean spring that's constantly bubbling up in the water, refreshing it, keeping it fresh and clean and pure. So Sangharakshita says that this second jhana is the state of inspiration, because there you are in this heightened state of consciousness, this higher state of consciousness, but then you sense from an even deeper level the welling up of something even deeper, or changing the analogy, shifting it away from the image of the subterranean spring, you might have a sense of something descending, if you like. These are all aspects of your own consciousness, but a greatly expanded consciousness. This is very pleasurable indeed, and in this state there is no discursive thought at all. It's not a blank state or anything like that. You're fully and vividly present, but you're in this state of this inspiration welling up within you constantly. The third jhana, higher still as it were, is the Buddha likens to a pond, a pool, a lake of lotuses. And the lotuses are lotus flowers, and the lotus leaves and so on are thoroughly saturated by the water. Thoroughly saturated. They're there in the water and thoroughly saturated by the water. So Sangha actually describes this as the state of permeation. It's here, it's as if the higher state of consciousness is both sort of within you and around you. And your awareness is just this very thin, kind of transparent, kind of gossamer thing. And it's, again, even more pleasurable and very, very expanded. Sort of subject and object, self and other, is really attenuated in this state. And then the fourth dhyana is likened to a man who, on a hot day, this is India, after, of course, takes a bath in a cool lake, gets out of the lake and wraps himself in a white cloth, pure white cloth, and just sits there. So Sangharakshita calls this the state of radiation. Picking up on the image of the white cloth, it's as if what's happening here is that the higher state of consciousness is not just sort of in you and around you, it's sort of like a very positive sense of protection, and it's sort of radiating out to the world, affecting the world. Very powerful state of consciousness indeed. And it's in this stage of meditation that apparently the riddhis develop, these so-called sort of psychic powers, where you can sort of affect things around you. Not that you're practicing meditation to develop those things, but it just indicates, if you like, the sort of depth and strength of consciousness that you're developing.